Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, welcome to Skies Revival Radio. We're glad you could join us today. This is Tom from the Sky Family. We have a very interesting and challenging lesson today from Matthew chapter 20. We are always directing people to the Gospels as being the very element that will clear up our mind of all misconceptions and get us on the firm, hard path that leads to life. So we're going to go over to Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28, where we see something very remarkable about the character of Jesus. Let me preface this by saying that Jesus is here responding to the fact that his disciples were all vying for the top positions in his kingdom. And so Jesus' response to them all trying to get the number one and two slot was this. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Here we see the most remarkable thing. While all of his disciples are in a power struggle to get the best positions in the kingdom, we see that Jesus says the Son of Man comes to serve. He doesn't come to take the top position. He comes to take the low position. What a contrast to the way of the world, isn't it? The world's leaders lord it over those who are under them. The power structure of the world is from the top down. And this ruling from the top down is usually accomplished by force or by ruthlessness. Warlords rule by being the most ruthless, and that's what makes them the warlord. And this is not just restricted to countries where anarchy reigns. You can find this top-down warlord structure in any of our schools today. You will find the girl with the most vicious mouth is the queen, and she rules by intimidation. Everyone who's been to public schools knows that there is a power structure and it is ruled by ruthlessness. The one who has no care for the feelings of the others rules. This ruling from the top down is found in every street gang, every competitive corporation, and in many governments. Any place where there is ruling, it is usually from the top down, usually ruling by fear, intimidation, punishment, and force. This power structure model is from hell. It is actually the power structure of hell. The devil rules by fear, and he rules in hell as the head of the pyramid. He is the eye at the top of the pyramid. The devil rules his overlords. The overlords rule the underlords. The underlords rule the minions. At each level, there is ruling by total fear and by force. It is a structure of fear that runs the government of hell, and it is very clearly seen in governments of the world that have abandoned Christianity and the beauty of God's government. Now, when you have this type of government, there's another element. And that is this, that there is no loyalty. In fact, everyone on the bottom hates those who are over them all the way to the top. So the overlords of hell hate Satan himself with a passion. The number one commander under Satan despises and loathes him, and no doubt plots and schemes how he might possibly take over his job. That's the very nature of hell. No one can break out of it because of fear. But what Satan does not have is anyone's heart. There's not a single person in hell who respects him or cares about him or loves him. There's not a single one who cares about the ruler of darkness. And that is what will work against him in the end when he is cast into the lake of fire. His power will be stripped from him, and he will no longer be able to intimidate anyone. Just imagine the devil ruling by fear for thousands of years, then having his power taken away, and then he is cast into the same space as everyone that he was lording it over. Imagine what hell will look like for the devil. It will be a hell of his own making, a hell he has formed for himself. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Make no mistake about it. It will be very ugly for the devil when judgment befalls him. So the power structure of hell consists of ruling people who have no love for you. If God wanted to rule this way, he certainly could. He could rule with an iron fist, with everyone obeying perfectly. But then his power structure would be just like hell. And if you have people that you are ruling who care nothing about you, you might as well be ruling droids or mechanical creatures, because there's no loving response from them. And so that would give God no satisfaction. So God, in his wisdom, takes hold of the situation and says, here's what I'll do. I will take this model of authority and I will flip it upside down. I'll turn the structure of heaven upside down to where the greatest ruler is on the bottom and holds up the weaker. And I'll make those who are weaker to uphold those who are weaker still, so on until the weakest are upheld at the very top. And this is why God treats people with such kindness. He can go into any city and find anyone on the streets and treat them with such respect and compassion and love, because he has made the weakest to be at the top. The weak are upheld by the strong. They are not subjected by the strong, but they are tenderly upheld by those stronger than them. Isn't that an amazing power structure? This is the power structure of heaven. The greatest is on the bottom instead of at the top. God is the greatest of all, and so he is the greatest servant. He shows us this divine humility, treating those who are so much less with respect. Isn't that awesome? God's ways are so beautiful. He set up an upside down pyramid where each one is upholding someone weaker. And the result is this: for those who serve God, their hearts are his altogether. Their love is for their leader. This is a commander that we love, and we consider it a privilege to serve with him. He has our hearts. We don't have to get paid to serve him. We serve him because we love him. He is worthy and has given us an example of serving. And we catch hold of it and say, wow, that's the way to be. Now we serve him by serving others as he serves us. Whatsoever you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. In the kingdom, we serve him because we love him, and he serves us for the same reason, and we can't outserve him. Now, these words are very challenging to us because they fly in the face of so much that we hear today. As I have mentioned many times, there is a new gospel that has taken root in so many areas of the church. I call it the gospel of self. It's all about self-fulfillment, self-esteem, self-everything. It is clearly contrary to the teaching of Jesus, which is what makes us want to turn everyone back to reading the gospels for themselves. It's the only way to escape the error that's being taught in his name. Let us go back to Jesus' words. So if we take into ourselves the tiniest bit of our modern teaching, we will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. And what is this teaching I'm talking about? It's the stand up for yourself teaching. It's the put yourself first teaching. It's the think about yourself teaching. A wildly popular TV preacher tells her audience that they are wrong to put their children and their husbands ahead of themselves. Well, this is nothing but pure selfishness. This is an anti-gospel. And those who bite that apple will be, according to Jesus' words, the least in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says the one who makes himself or herself the servant of all, or it even says the slave of all in some translations, they will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And this is why it is so important to get back to the Gospels. Go to many counselors in or out of the church, and you will hear this type of advice. Stand up for yourself. You don't have to tolerate your rights being trampled. You don't have to put up with that. And so many have bitten that poison apple, and many are dying from it. Many families have been destroyed by this counsel. In truth, if we are truly a servant of Jesus, if we are a servant and have a servant's heart, we have no rights. We have surrendered them. If someone wrongs us, we don't need to defend ourselves or stand up for ourselves. A servant has no rights. We have surrendered them when we decided to become like Jesus. We have this amazing freedom in Christ that we don't have to care if a person violates our rights. Who cares? We don't have to worry because Jesus said, "The greatest will be the servant of all." Ours is to serve by praying for those who hurt us. We are part of another kingdom when we do that. So when someone harms us in some way and the devil whispers in your ear, you don't have to put up with that. Our response should be, put up with what? I didn't even notice. You see, that's what 1 Corinthians 13 says, that love hardly even notices when others do it wrong. And that's the proper attitude. We are to not even notice, let alone build up a case for our rights being violated. It seems like with impunity, we can lord it over those who have wounded us by either giving them a harsh attitude or criticism or the silent treatment or yelling at them. We're very good at this. And there's no problem, except, of course, for these verses from Jesus. If we take that stand, we will be the least in God's kingdom. We submarine ourselves because it's an attitude that is not in the kingdom of God. But as we dismiss the counsel of the world and the counsel of the worldly church and put our rights off, we become like Jesus, and in that, we become great in the kingdom of God. These are really practical lessons because we defend ourselves all the time. We can't sleep at night for defending ourselves. We have lawyers and judges and juries in our mind defending our rights. But remember, love hardly even notices when others do it wrong. So how do we deal with this? Well, we can say honestly, maybe there's some truth to the accusation. We can look at ourselves introspectively, and there may be. We don't know. I mess up all the time. But God has redeemed my life from the pit, so it doesn't really matter. If we're falsely accused or accused in truth, either way, God has us covered. If we have done something to merit the accusation, it is covered if we have brought the matter to God in repentance. And if we are innocent, God will ultimately vindicate us. So if we're guilty, we can be forgiven. And if we have done nothing wrong, then no harm can come to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we address these very weighty matters. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your authority comes from serving, and that ours is to put off our rights to serve others. Lord, this is so contrary to our nature. This is so contrary to all that we think is right. But Lord, you are the one who initiated this type of leadership. And we want to be conformed to your image. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would accomplish in us the good work of making us to be the servant of all, of making us to be the lowly ones, to make us lowly in our own eyes, and to make us the servant of all. Lord, we need your help to do this because our flesh screams out. We want to be on top. We don't want to be on the bottom. But when we look at your beautiful example, Jesus, it gives us the inspiration to want to be like you. So please forgive us for our carnal worldly ways and give us a godly mindset. Give us humility. Give us lowliness of heart and teach us how to become servants where we are, in our house, in our business, in our community. Lord, we need your help and we pray that you would conform us to the image of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we finish, I just want to take a minute to invite you to contact us, call us, email. Let us know how you're doing. If you have any prayer needs, let us know so we can pray for you. Or if you have any questions, we'd love to just talk with you. More than anything, we would just simply like to be in fellowship with you. So contact us either by phone, 508-887-1051, or better than that is by email, tourmanager@theskies.org. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.